one of the most popular topics that we do every year. And folks come out in numbers with questions and comments and their favorite apps and what's new. Here to talk about all things iPhone is Tony Schnerb.
All righty. Hello. I hope everyone's had a good day so far. Sounds like there's been some good presentations already. What I'm going to do is talk a little bit about iOS 15. And my hope is to make this interactive. I'm going to pretty soon, I'm not going to speak too long. I'm going to open it up for questions because I want this to be driven by what people want to know and need to know, because iPhones, a lot of us have been around using these for quite some time, and we all have different experiences, and there's a lot that can be learned about the iPhone. And you can bring 20 different people together and they all kind of become expert in specific things. So, and then there's also on the agenda, it mentioned that people can bring up and talk about favorite apps, because many times by sharing what apps have really been helpful to one of us allows other people to see, oh yeah, hey, I didn't realize that existed. So we can all learn from what others find useful. And I'm going to start with iOS 15, and the reason why there's not a whole lot to be said about it yet, because unfortunately the timing this time of year with the new iOS gets released in September every year around the same time that the new iPhones get released. And this year, the new iPhones that are out there, are the 13. They've released four new models. There's a 13, 13 Pro, 13 Max, and a 13 Mini. And this is supposed to have, actually, I think it's got the very similar processor that the 12 has, but the camera has been enhanced quite a bit. So folks that really like to have a good camera may appreciate that. Now, as far as how that ties into blindness applications, I've not gotten any real test on that, because I am personally still using an iPhone SE 2020, which is similar to the iPhone 11. It's got the same processor as the 11. But they also released 15, which is the iOS model for the iPads and the iPhones. Now, that just recently, in the last couple of weeks, got released. And there is a website out there that I usually try to encourage people to go to if you are wanting to stay up on what's going on with Apple. And that's appleviz.com. And that's www.appleviz.com. And that is specifically for people that are blind. And it does also have information out there for people that are deafblind. And this information, and what's the reason why I mentioned that, because with iOS 15 right now, I would recommend that if you are currently on iOS 14, that you do not update your phone yet. You can, and it won't kill your phone. This isn't like back and on the when iOS 8 came out, back when some people, if you had a certain models of phone, that would turn it to a brick, and then other folks where it turned it so slow that it may as well have been a brick, that it's not that bad. But there are some issues in iOS 15.0 that has been discovered and logged, and they're documented out there. If you go out there onto the iOS or to Apple Viz website, it talks about it extensively. But there's many folks, such as folks, if you use the wallet app on the iPhone, you may find that it now crashes on you if you try to swipe to any card on the wallet app that is not the first card. Now, there is a little trick to get around that. You can, instead of swiping, you can explore by touch. And some people have had luck with that. There has been, I guess, other issues where folks have had problems with Siri, where if you're used to using Siri to create and send emails, that it gives you an apology instead of letting you compose your email. And I've been hearing different things where some people say that, oh, it'll let you do it now and then, but it won't. And right now, as I speak, they only released a 15.01, which fixes a few minor bugs, such as they broke the linkage. If you have an Apple Watch, it won't, and you are used to being able to unlock your Apple Watch by just putting it on and then opening your iPhone, and your watch automatically unlocks after people loaded iOS 15. And this is a bug they just fixed, because they broke it in 14, they fixed it in 14, then they broke it again in 15, but they fixed it again in 15.01. So that one little issue got repaired. So, but that's about it. None of the major bugs and intermediate bugs that are listed on Apple Viz got repaired in this. It's speculated that there'll be iOS 15.1 coming out within the next couple weeks, and it's projected that that stuff's going to be fixed. A lot of these irritations are going to be fixed. So, yeah, but right now, this is one of those times where it's new. So right now, I would say don't update to iOS 15 unless you're one of these folks who are adventurous and like to, you know, you like to have the bleeding edge technology and you don't mind helping debug things, because there are many folks that a lot of them do post on Apple Viz that enjoy being a part of, you know, finding these things, making these suggestions, and even, you know, submitting bug reports to Apple. But that's pretty much where it stands with iOS 15. Now, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually open up for questions. So if, you know, people have questions, I'd like to entertain those questions, or, you know, if you have questions, or if you have an app that you would like to talk about.
Okay, we got a couple, so we'll get those unmuted. But I'm going to ask the first one. Tony, have you played, I heard this on a podcast, I didn't know it, about in 15, you can set it up so that the camera will be like OCR and tell you in real time, taking pictures of things and reading text and describing objects and people. Have you played with that?
No, I haven't, because I haven't updated my phone yet. I'm still on 14.8, and there is something, if you do go into your settings under software update, and they've, because there are some folks that have actually made I've heard people ask on a couple of lists that they've said, I don't have 15 pushed to me yet. Well, they kind of changed the screen a little bit on there. It'll show right now they've done this, and it's kind of it's a nice thing. That was because the update from 14.7 to 14.8 was so important that they wanted to make sure people updated that if they were not comfortable going to 15 yet. So what it does is it might show, hey, you're running the latest version if you do have 14.8. But if you explore down or swipe to the right a few times, there's another button that allows you to update to 15. So that allows them to, if they did have like an 8.1 patch or something, or what, for 14, they could put that out there, and you wouldn't be forced to go to 15 just because it's available. But once you go to 15, if you do go to 15, then of course now you're on 15 and going back would be problematic.
Slow down some sway.
Okay, folks, we got
okay, Tyler,
we got Tyler and Barb Price. Tyler, your question, sir.
Okay.
Good afternoon. My question is, I'm in the process of thinking about buying a new iPhone, because my budget's not very good, and I'm on a iPhone 6, and I'm trying to figure out the best one to go after.
Okay, well, what I would say, depending on, you've got a couple of choices. Of course, you could, you know, since you're on a budget, you mentioned, I usually tell people, depending on who they are, some folks I'd say go for the 13, but others, Now, being on a price point, if you just go with, say, a 12 or a 12 Pro, you could probably get a good deal on a 12 or 12 Pro because the 13's out. So they... And there's a lot of plans if you're willing to go with a phone plan where you commit to buying it through your phone company. Sometimes you can get it quite a bit cheaper. So the, and that's now the other question, the other thing that to think about, since you mentioned that you're coming from an iPhone 6, you still have a home button.
Yes.
Or the capacitive home button on that phone. Now, starting with the 10 or the X, the 11, all those did not, they remove the home button and you use gestures to move up to do other things instead of the home button. Now, if you want to keep a home button, the latest phone that's out there that has a home button is called the SE 2020, and it looks, if you looked at it, it looks like an iPhone 8, which is, in other words, it will look very similar to your 6. And you, I would, and there's, plus the price point's lower on that.
Yeah, I thought it was.
You would notice quite a substantial performance increase if you upgraded to an SE 2020.
Is there going to be like an SE 2022 coming out, or have you heard of any updates for the SE? Because I know that's the cheap iPhone that doesn't really get mentioned. There's not a lot of press around it. Yeah. And I saw the iPhone 13 mini. I was going to gamble for the iPhone 13 mini because it's like $699. It's not $1,000. So I was either going to aim for the SE or 13 mini.
Yeah, either 13 mini would be good, but you do not have a home button on that. So it's something good to know.
Right.
Since you're coming from a 6. That there is, but once you got used to not having the home button, you would get along fine without it. But it was it's something to know and to be aware of. But the 13 being around $699 and the SE 2020, which has the same processor as the 11, would set you back between around $400 to $500, okay, depending on which one you got.
Okay.
And you can spread that over 24 months. All the providers will let you, you know, you could spread that payment over divided by 24, and they don't seem to add any to that, and you can add that to your regular cell phone. So that,
right. And okay, sometimes, yeah, you get upgrade plans that they used to give better deals, and they don't really do that anymore. Sometimes they want you to, they'll give you a phone for free if you add another line, but if you ran out of kids to buy phones for, is not a valid option. Yeah.
What's the Apple website for, you said it earlier, applebiz.com?
Yeah. Applebiz.com. It's applevis.com. And that's viz as in like visually impaired. It's a blindness related. Yeah, that's specifically for blind people and issues that and information. There's a lot of information on that about apps, various, because you might wonder, you might say, okay, I'm wanting to play this game, for instance, but I'm wondering what kind of luck has other blind people had with it. And you can get on there, and it's possible you might find it. It might not be anything. And if there's nothing, you can actually post and ask if anybody has had any experience with it. Or you might discover, oh yeah, this is, other blind people are playing this game, and I don't mind spending the $9 on it because I see other blind people doing it. Or you might see, oh, it's other blind people. You learn from their experience that where they tried it, discovered it was completely inaccessible, and you just saved yourself $9 or whatever. You know, I'm just using that as an example, but you might move on. You know, and it could be whether you're looking for any kind of a learning app or a game app or any other type of productivity app. There's all kinds of stuff about apps that were written for people that, you know, that are blindness specific, and or however, there's a lot of information on apps that were not necessarily blindness specific, but blind people are writing about their experiences with those apps.
Any other questions from anyone?
Yeah, I heard the Barb Price apologize that she accidentally raised her hand.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and anybody interested in asking you more questions, I can raise your hand. Yeah, I've got, in the meantime, just to fill in, something that I have found useful myself that other people may find useful is that I have discovered that, and this is not necessarily blindness specific, but it's it was a useful feature that if you are somebody who is bilingual or interested in, or you're trying to learn another language, such as Spanish or German or, you know, what have you, you can go to your settings and add additional keyboards, such as you can go to settings, general, and then there's a keyboard button, and you can go in there and you can add additional keyboards, and those, and you can add keyboards for different languages. And it's the same way if you've ever added the emoji keyboard. It's, you know, you're using the same method for adding that. And once you add those, keyboards to your keyboard profile, down on the lower left corner, there's a button you can hit to swipe. You can switch very easily, switch from one keyboard to another, just like if you, for those of you who have actually added the emoji keyboard, you've seen how you can switch back and forth between the emoji and the US English keyboard. Well, what, like, for instance, what I added, I also added the Latin American Spanish keyboard. And I have discovered that when I am, if I, whether it be an email, a text message, or notes or whatever, if I switch to the Latin American Spanish keyboard, it actually speaks the characters in Spanish. And as a bonus also, when, if I either use the two-finger magic tap, you know, the two-finger double tap, or I tap the dictate button and I dictate something, it now, Siri understands Espanol. So that if you've ever, if anyone out there has, while using the English keyboard, has decided to try to dictate a phrase of Spanish into their computer, into their iPhone, through the, on the, when, because normally she's expecting English, you get all, it's kind of scary what she comes up with. So so that if you do switch to, and you're using a different keyboard, Siri follows along and Siri says, okay, I now speak Spanish. I now understand Spanish. And then once you, of course, you tap and you switch back to the English, US English keyboard, then she understands English again.
Tammy, so that's a question?
Just something interesting that I have discovered and found very useful.
Okay, Tammy?
Tammy Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a screaming kitten, so
I'm trying to exit. One of her kittens has a question.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about the noise. I have a question. I have noticed I use Siri sometimes quite a bit, really, for dictation, and I will go to send a text message or start an email or something, and it will just stop. Like, it'll do the first two or three words, and then it'll stop, and it'll ask if I want to send it, and I have to add to it. Do you know what's causing that and how to fix it if there is a fix?
I wish I knew there was a fix. The only workaround that I have found for that, and that's why I use dictation quite a bit, but I generally don't just tell Siri, send a text message. What I usually do is I go in and I initiate the text message and I get into the edit box, and then I use the two-finger magic tap and I'll dictate, because a lot of times what I'll do is, if, of course, if it's a very short message, like, what time do you want to have dinner, period, you know, that's one thing. But if I may want to say a couple of sentences and then stop and think about the next thing I want to say. And then, you know, so I'll two-finger double tap, dictate something, and then two-finger double tap again, take a breath. And then I'll do another magic tap to say the next thought. And then of course, at that point, I can make it read the screen and go, oh, I did not want to say that. I'm glad I didn't hit send, and then I can fix it. But yeah, that's generally what I've discovered. Now, I have found that if I wanted to send a text message to somebody that was just, say, 5 or 6 words, generally you don't have that problem. But yeah, if it's anything longer, I have found that I just initiate the message and then use the dictation feature rather than do the whole thing through Siri, because I found that, and I've seen that Pam does it a lot. She uses the dictation an awful lot, and it likes cutting her off more often than not, especially if she has anything longer than a full sentence.
Okay, Diane, you have a question?
Yes, I have a couple, actually. So to piggyback on what you just said, you were talking about the initiating the message and then dictating. So when you do that, do you have to search through your contact to find the name, or can you actually dictate the name of the person you want to send the message to? Like, do you go to, you know what I'm saying, do you go to, I'm trying to think what it's called now. How do you initiate that text? How do you do that? Because usually what I do is I'll tell Siri, send text to, you know, Angelica or whatever.
Then you have to actually, you have to actually tap on the, there's a two button and and then actually you actually pick it. Or you can go to your contacts, search, so you find the person on your contacts, and then there is a send, there is a message, a button there to send a message to you. So you can do it two different ways.
Okay. But you could go to that two field and then dictate the name.
Yeah, you could try to dictate it there and see if it finds it. You could try to dictate it. It can get temperamental. But you can also just hit the two button. You can go down there, then pick the right person.
Oh, okay.
Or then, of course, once you do that, then you'd flick down. You could swipe over to the message line and double tap on that. And then that's where you would do your dictation of your message.
Right. And then another question that I have, I know that there are a lot of low vision and totally blind people that take their own pictures and they manipulate those. And so I'm just wondering if anybody can give me any tips and tricks for, I would love to be able to do that, but I don't know how other blind people manage those, how they take them and make sure they're focused and then how they manipulate them, I guess, and do what they want to do with them.
Well, there's a, as far as the manipulating and all that goes, I guess myself, I've not done a whole lot of that. There is, I have found that when you are running VoiceOver and you open the camera, you move the camera slowly, you can find, it will tell you when it sees faces.
Oh, okay.
And you can, say you have one person, it'll tell you if there's a face. It'll tell you if it's near the top or the left or right. So if I'm sitting there holding the camera and it's telling me that there's a face on the upper right-hand corner, I know I can kind of turn in that direction a little bit, just kind of pan the camera just a little bit until I hear it tell me it's in the middle. Now, depending on what sort of, and it might, sometimes I'll tell you it's a large face or a small face. And because if you're up close to the person and you're pretty much wanting to get a head and shoulder shot, but if you might be happy if it says it's just in the middle. But if you're a little further away and it tells you that the face is in the middle near the top, then you, by guessing, okay, see their face is up there, then you're getting the whole person. And if you're back several feet, maybe say you're back 10, 15 feet, you probably want to get the whole person.
Right.
So that's a way, of course, then you can snap a picture using that. Now, as far as the manipulating or cropping and all that business, I have no experience actually doing that. That I relegate and delegate that off to daughters and
right,
other family members, because even though it's like, okay, I kind of I understand visual concepts from having some vision in the past. I can't verify today what I'm intending.
Right.
I leave that to being that it's something, it's visual. So I try to leave that to someone who's got the eyesight to do it, especially when it comes to cropping and fitting things, because once you're doing that, then it's very easy to chop off somebody's left arm or to remove their feet or actually take off the top 2/3 of their hairdo.
Right.
And you might even think, okay, there's still a face there, but they're missing the very top of their head. So I do know there are blind people that play with pictures, and that'd be one of those where I mean, you could get a conversation started on Apple Viz about that probably. And I know I've seen conversations like that where people have put out stuff on, I think it was Blind Talk, which is one of the NFB listservs, the National NFB listservs. I see people mention stuff like that, and occasionally you get little, you know, some comments. I think a lot of folks don't really know what to say, so the comments are kind of sparse. But I do know that there's blind people. I do know that blind people do play with pictures, because there's a lot of blind people that are interested in various forms of art these days.
Okay, Kim, you had a question. Okay, while Kim gets unmuted, I want to say that dictation is improved.
I'm
in 15.
Here.
Okay.
I'm here, Michael.
All right. Very good. What's on your mind?
Sorry about that. Yes, I'm sorry I have so many questions here, and I'm hoping that my question is not too lame or anything. But I was told that if you have your voiceover on, then you're able to not double tap on your keypads or anything like that. Is that true? Because I never did that before. I mean, can you not double tap your numbers or anything on your phone if you have your voiceover on?
There are, yeah, if you're talking about you and you're using your phone and you're on the keyboard.
I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
If you have your voiceover on, can you not double tap?
Yeah, I think I know what you might be asking, because there's a couple different settings by default when you're using voiceover. By default, when you bring up either the keyboard to type in, say, a text message, you know, or anything else, or the number pad on the phone, by default, the method that you use to, say, you know, press a 5 on, say, the keypad is when you hear it say 5, when you move your finger over the 5, you lift your finger, then double tap. That's the default method. That's the standard typing. There is another touch typing method that you can set that will allow you to, it's a lot quicker, and there's a lot of folks start out the way I just mentioned, and kind of I think what you're talking about you've been doing. But once folks get used to using their phone, they discover it's a lot quicker to go to this touch typing mode. They change their settings so that what it allows you to do is you put your finger down on the keypad, and if you say you want to dial a 5, you would move your finger till you hear it say 5, and then you lift your finger, and it'll repeat that 5 in a slightly higher pitch, and you've just entered that 5. So then you put your finger back down. Say you want to dial 5-2-3. What you do is you would put your finger on the keypad about close to where you think the 5 is. If you hear it say 5, you would just raise your finger. You put your finger back down again, slide it up until you hear it say 2, lift your finger, it'll repeat that 2 in a higher pitch. Put your finger back down. You could even over a little bit if you were trying to dial 5-2-3. Put it down where you think the 3 is. If it doesn't say 3, move it till you hear it. Lift your finger and it'll say 3, and you've just dialed 5-2-3. So it's a lot faster. And the keyboard for dialing letters and other things work the same way. If you change it to touch typing, you can do that. So that is a lot. Is that what you are looking for?
Well, that sounds a little bit confusing right there, how you just described it there.
You kind of have to play with it a little bit. The difference being that normally by default you would type a letter or number the same way that you activate any other icon using voiceover, and that's by double tapping it. But the touch typing, it can be a little confusing until you actually play with it. And if you could actually try it, and if you don't like it, you always change your setting back. It won't make you keep it. So you can change it back. But you're basically putting your finger down in the proximity of where you think the letter or number is you want. And of course, if you don't hear it, you move your finger till you do hear it, and then just raise your finger. And
I hear people just swiping until they hear the number, and then they click on it or whatever they do with it.
Right.
I hear a lot of swiping and a lot of totally blind people. Now, if I wanted to go into my settings and change that, how do you do that again?
Yeah, you'd go under, open up your voiceover settings under settings, accessibility, right. voiceover, and exploring. You can, I had to stop and think here. I get used to doing this stuff. And I have to hear it. I get used to hear it, but yeah, because then once you got into your voiceover settings, you've got there is keyboard settings, and there is you'll find your typing mode is what you're looking for. You would then mm-hmm. go into that, and you would change it from, I would have to go get my phone and open it, because there are three different typing modes in there. There's standard typing, there's touch typing, and then there is a third one that you probably don't want unless you're partially sighted. There is another mm-hmm. there is another form of typing that will allow you to perform while voiceovers open. And basically what it does is it makes your keyboards behave as if you have voiceover turned off. In other words, you touch an A, you type an A. You touch a B, you type a B. So you really, a totally blind person, I can't think of any reason why a totally blind person would ever want to have that feature turned on, but it's available. And for somebody with some vision might find that useful. It's a tool they give you, but you can you can set that in your rotor. I don't know if you're familiar with using the rotor at all, but you can add the typing modes to your rotor so that you can change it. You know, you can, if you are one of these that for whatever reason you find that you have certain times that you like to use regular, you like to use touch typing, and other times you like to use standard typing, then you could put it in your rotor, and it would allow you, then you can rotor over and swipe up and change that setting on the fly.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm not familiarized with the rotor. Right. But besides my rotor and my Wi-Fi or my modem box, that's what it is. Oh. But I apologize. Look into that, and I appreciate you sharing that with me.
Yeah, you just give it a try, and you can try it on. Just open up your notes, or you can experiment with something that, you know, it's not like you're going to break anything. You can give that a try and practice it. And then you'll turn it off if you don't like it.
Right. And part of that depends on which version of the iOS you're using. They can move that around sometimes. But
they do. And that's why I find myself, I'll be zipping along going, oh, yeah, I need to go down this next level and do this. Because they move, just like, for instance, the voiceover settings and stuff. They moved because accessibility settings used to be under general. And if you're running an old version of iOS, that's where it's at. But then they took it out and the idea, you know, they said accessibility deserved a little higher status on the hierarchy. So it's there in the under the settings. You don't have to go into general. You can go, there's an accessibility setting. So they keyboard, do move things around.
That keyboard was one of the first things I changed when I discovered that. I was so excited. It saved so many taps, right?
Oh, yeah.
But 747, phone number ending in 747.
Okay, Michael, this is Lee. And Tony, I just want to say you're doing a great job. And I like how quick you are on your feet with this knowledge and all the questions you're getting. But my question is, with the new phones that's coming out, I grew up on this home key.
Yeah.
Will they still have, can you purchase some with home keys, or are they just eliminating the home keys altogether? Or
there is,
you know, what's the mentality with that?
Yeah, home is, they said adios to the home button on the iOS 10, or the Apple 10, the iPhone 10. some people call the X, some call the 10. They got rid of the home button. The only phone that came out with a home button after the 10 came out, there's only one exception to that rule, and that was because they came out, that was the SE 2020. And that's, if you've seen an SE 2020, as I mentioned earlier, it looks remarkably like the iPhone 8, which did have a home button, and therefore the SE 2020 did. And what they did was, to be honest with you, the SE 2020 was a way of using up parts that they had, because they had built the 6, 7, and 8, all on a similar form factor. So then when the 10 came out and then the 11, they probably still had stuff tooled up to make those parts, the screens and all that. They had all that inventory. So they said, hey, we'll just take the guts of an 11 and the camera of an 11 and we'll stick that in this body that we used for the 8 and we'll call it an SC2020. Now, it sounds like I'm kind of saying that they found a way to use leftovers, but the truth is it was really, I appreciated it. So it was something, I liked what they did. So that was, but so the answer to your question, as far as the newest phone you can buy that has a home button is the SC2020 that has the same processor as an 11. You're not going to find a home button on the 10, the 11, the 12, or the new 13s. There are no home buttons. And by extension, there's no Touch ID because the Touch ID was in the home button. So there is no Touch ID on the 10, 11, 12, or 13. But there is Touch ID on the SEs.
And I want to comment two downsides to the SE. One, to me, it doesn't sound as good, but the bigger one probably is the battery life. Because it's a smaller phone, so it's a smaller battery. So you're
Smaller battery, smaller phone. You probably, if you want, getting a 12 Pro would probably be, and getting used to the fact of not having the home button would be a way to get much better battery life. If you want to keep, because the 12 Pro would probably, you can get it at a cheaper price point, but the 13 or any of the 13s. Now, of course, if you go with the 13 Max, that's probably the biggest battery out there, but it depends on, you may not want, as some people jokingly call them, a phablet, because it's, almost looks like a phone. Just gets it gets pretty big. And for a lot of totally blind people that I speak with, I know, including myself included, I don't need a big old screen like that. Matter of fact, the only totals that I really suggest get a Max would, the largest phone would be a total who has very large hands. Now, there are some guys who have very large hands, or you have people that have a lot of, if you have some motor, you've got motor issues where with coordination, you have neurological problems where you find it hard to maneuver and do the gesture. Sometimes have the largest screen can give you that extra space necessary to be able to perform these functions that you need to perform.
I think Diane has another question.
Yes, I do. I'll ask real quick and then I'll mute again because I know I got some noise going on here. But you mentioned earlier adding things to the rotor. I didn't realize you could do that. So how do you do that and what kind of things can you add?
You can go to under the voiceover settings. There is a rotor. There is a rotor settings button that will allow you to go, and there's a whole list of things that are in there that are selected and not selected. And anything that's selected is going to be in your rotor. If it's not selected, of course, or it won't be. So if you have you find something that you say, if there's something that you want to add, you would go down and locate it and double tap it and toggle it to selected. You can also change you'll find buttons in there that allow you to move up and move down to kind of change its order in the rotor. But there's, for instance, I'm not sure how much you've played with the rotor, but if you have, because I use the rotor all the time for reviewing things, because if I'm in a, say I'm reading an email, I can spin it over, and as I turn the rotor while I'm in a message, and you'll hear it say things like characters, words, lines, headers are one of the first things that you'll hear. And you can then say, I stop on words, and then I flick down, or I flick down, I can navigate word by word. I can make the thing read word by word, and then say I come up with, I land on a person's name. As you're flicking down, you're landing on the right-hand end of that word. And if you flick up, or you're flicking to the left, flicking up, or you're physically moving to the left on a sentence, you're landing on the first character of that word. So that's kind of a hint. So if I say I hear a long name, I'm like, how do I spell that? I'll flick up once, So I'm at the beginning of the name. I'll spin the rotor once to the left, so I'm on characters. It'll say characters, and then I can start flicking down and spelling my way through it. And some of the other things that you can add to your rotor are such as the speech rate. Because say there's sometimes that if you find yourself wanting to change your rate of speech a lot, you can add that to your rotor. You can also change as the keyboard, the modes, you can typing mode. You can actually add, if you find that in the rotor settings and you select it, it's now in your amongst your rotor activities that you can do. And you can flick through the three different types of keyboard interaction that you want to use. And there's a whole lot of other, there's navigate by headers, navigate by line, navigate by, let's see, there's a, just trying to go off on my memory what there is, because there's quite a few. There's read by paragraph, there's read by, there is a table reading capability. So if you find yourself on something that is organized as a table, you can, I think they call it vertical navigation. Because if you wind up on a table, you can, normally you would be going across, say you had like 10 items across and five down. You would, if you're trying to go word by word, you would just be navigating across from left to right and then down the next line left to right. But say you're on the third one and what you really want to do is go down three, you can, if you have that in your rotor, you can spin it over to the vertical then navigation and then move down. So you're staying on that third column and reading down through the elements. So there's I use the rotor quite a bit for that. Have you used the rotor much?
Uh-oh. I don't use it a lot, but I use it a lot more than I used to, particularly since you told me that I can go in there and click on links in an email or a text.
Right.
Using the rotor. I've started to play with it a lot more.
Yeah, that's, I forgot to even mention. Right there, I was kind of drawing a blank on additional things it could do. And that was like right there was one that I do quite a bit, especially in text messages where people will text you a link that if you have, that you can flick through the links that are in something. Yeah, and it's very helpful on, say you're in Safari on web pages that are organized by headers and containers and other things like that. You can, as you spin through your rotor, you'll hear those different things that you can, different ways that you can.
Oh wow! So you can go like
web page. Yeah,
scroll through the different headers and stuff like that. You can
adjust just like you do if you're used to using JAWS and you're used to you got the virtual cursor and you hit H and to go to the next header. Well, the same thing on the iPhone, if you know there's header markups on a web page, you can spin your rotor till you hear it say header and start flicking down and you'll jump header by header.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and if you're on a web page, you can just spin through your rotor and kind of hear the different things that it gives you, because the rotor actions will change depending on what you're doing, whether you're in a text message, whether you're on a web page or just inside of some app. Because there are some things, if it's something that you can't do or it's not possible to do in an app you're in, it just doesn't show up. So it, which is helpful.
Mm-hmm. Another question I had, which you may not know since you're still using the SE20, but I found on my 11 that sometimes the Face ID will work and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it makes me enter the passcode. Do you have any idea why that might be? You know, sometimes it just won't allow me to use the Face ID.
This, I know that sometimes, especially with someone who's totally blind, you could, it's very possible that, and I've actually had someone say that, yeah, sometimes it works great every single time, and other times it will fail. And then I'll find out that they're sitting in a dark room.
So
if the room, if you're sitting in a dark room and there's no light, then the times it's working great is because you're sitting, say, in your kitchen, you got a nice bright light turned on, and there's other, anything could, where if you're, so there are, you know, the ambient lighting or any stuff like that can definitely affect.
Two other things I heard that could cause issues. One is you're holding the phone too close and hold it out at an arm's length, so it can actually catch your face. And the other is that every so many times it will require you to manually enter the password for security purposes. So
yeah, that is true, because I can tell you one of those times is if you reboot your phone. The first time you reboot your phone for whatever reason, whether you just put an update in or just because you decided to shut it down and restart it, because sometimes phones get flaky. You, when you bring it up, you'll need to put in your passcode. Then, but if you're just waking your phone back up, it generally will generally accept your Face ID or Touch ID if you had one of those phones that use Touch ID. Now, every now and then, like Mike mentioned, it will just out of the blue, it says, "I'm just in a password mood today," and it will want your password. It just, it's like so many. I'm not even sure what the number is, but every so often, if it hasn't seen your passcode, it says, "I kind of miss you, passcode," and it wants your passcode. So it, and then makes you just put. And then once you put that in, it's happy. It says, "Good, I'm, you know, I got that." So it, but yeah, a lot of it, yeah, and because it is kind of a natural tendency, especially if not used to cameras and stuff, that you try to put something, you're trying to make it recognize your face. The tendency is to think, well, closer, and closer isn't always better, because once you get too close, the focus is not, it gets out of focus. It actually can't focus up to a certain point. So yeah, you're better off kind of holding it out there a little bit.
Then also, I think turn off that raised awake. That, I think I've heard, can cause issues too.
Oh yeah, that's more, yeah, that usually you'll get irritated into wanting to remove raised awake, because if every time you touch your phone or every time you walk or move, VoiceOver decides to say something, then that's your cue to go into your settings and turn under your brightness, you know, screen brightness area and stuff. It go in there and turn off raised awake, because that, it's supposed to be a convenience feature that wakes your phone up when you move it. But it,
right, it will, since your face is not in focus, and it's going to ask you for your password.
It's going to ask you for your password. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, it's going to ask you for your password. It's going to get to that before you have a chance to move it to your face. So yeah, that is something.
That's, now, what is that called? That's a, what is raise that setting called? Faith wake.
Raise to wake.
Raise to wake.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you may not have that on if your phone doesn't start speaking when you pick it up, because that's the purpose of it. When that feature is turned on, it makes your phone wake up, like it's as if you pressed the side button or something to try to arouse it. If it's not doing that, you might have that feature turned off, but if you discover that, you want to go under your settings, and under, I believe it's like screen and brightness, there's a some bunch of screen settings in there. There's a raised awake feature. That's one of those where I think they moved that a little bit too, that I think it used to be in a different place at one time, but I don't remember what iOS version they added that in, and then they moved it once, I think. But yeah, that's a feature that I pretty much think every VoiceOver user should just automatically turn off as soon as they get a phone.
All right, unless there's any more questions, I guess we could go ahead and wrap up here and start the next event. But I don't know, Tony, if you want to give any contact info for people to reach you, further questions, or they can always ask on the email list, I guess.
All right, they can always ask on the email, on the Indiana, the listserv, or most folks here, since if you're on here, you're probably on the NFB Indiana state listserv, you can just put a question out there. Occasionally I'll get people out there that will answer questions. And the other benefit is that sometimes before I even get a chance to answer it, somebody else who may have even had a better answer answered it already. So you can get a pretty quick answer sometimes. But thank you for having me on here. And I hope that I was able to answer most of your questions from one perspective.
All right. Thank you, Tony.